The information from this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for personal medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this session is for general educational information purposes only. Please contact your personal physician with questions regarding your own medical issues.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Episode 8 of The Doc and the Jock. I'm Charlene.
I'm Dr. Kim.
And today we are going to talk about Lyme disease. So I feel like with Lyme disease symptoms, it's often misdiagnosed. I think things that I've seen in the past. So if I were to come to you, I guess I have a lot of questions. So we're just going to make assumption that I have it. And I want to kind of just get your take on it because it's actually a topic I'm not familiar with, fortunately. But I guess, so say you diagnose someone in your office. What are the next steps? And, you know, is this something that can be reversed? Can we get it out of our systems? Is it always there? Like, what does this all look like?
So first, I'm going to actually step you back a little bit because, one, getting the diagnosis is very difficult.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when, what I mean by that is when you first, okay, let's actually talk about Lyme. So Lyme is actually comes from Lyme, Connecticut, and that's how people were getting sick. They couldn't figure out what it is. And then ultimately, I cannot remember his name, but he came out and we were able to find a bacteria called Borrelia burgdorferi. And they found that the spirochete, this we call it tick-borne illness, it's carried by a tick. So it's a tick vendor, the vector, the tick is what carries the bacteria. Comes from deers. There are other ticks as well, but that's the one I'm going to focus on.
Okay.
Bacteria on. So diagnosis, why is it so difficult? It's because it looks like a cold.
Excellent.
So, and these are tiny little ticks. So yeah. The bacteria is, so first of all, the tick itself has to be infected. So okay. Not all ticks carry.
Sure.
Right. And then we used to turn around and say, you have to be in a endemic areas where there's lots of ticks, but yeah. It's a lot more than you think. Mm. So Delaware,
yeah,
Kennett Square, we're in an area.
Yeah, awesome.
Lots of deer, right? So they're tiny little, and the tick goes through phases. There's an adult, there's, you know, the larvae, it's the nymph, it's a tiny little one. And so if it goes in and buries on you, it looks like a little mole. I've had patients who come in that did not even realize that they had a tick on them.
Oh, geez.
Until it moves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they actually have to be on you for like about 36 hours or so.
Okay. Yeah, so if you catch it early enough.
Yeah. And then you catch it early enough and you pull it off. It's usually okay. Okay. But if you don't, it gets engorged and then it gets into your system, right?
Okay.
So what happens? So let's say you find a tick. You're out in the woods. Mm-hmm. So by the way, people used to say, oh, dogs get ticks. They're dog ticks as well.
Yeah.
And they don't carry Lyme disease. That's false.
Oh,
they carry Lyme disease. Yeah. Okay. And it's interesting because, you know, dogs have collars. Animals have collars that like prevent them from the ticks getting on them.
Right.
Well, where do they go? To the human sometimes, right?
Right, right.
So you got to kind of be careful with that as well, right?
Okay.
So, and they're bigger, so they're a little bit easier to find, right?
Sure.
So if things are usually crawling on you, that's less likely for that you would have Lyme disease or problems.
Okay.
But if they're now embedded in you, that becomes a problem, right? So let's say you find one.
Yeah.
So first of all, those things go in and they kind of like, have you ever seen a tick on or pulled a tick on off of a person?
I mean, I've pulled off myself a couple of times.
Yeah.
Big ones, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
so how easy was it for you?
It wasn't bad because it wasn't fully in. Okay. So I was able to just tweeze it out.
Tweeze it out. Okay.
If
it's been in there, it is like grasped in there.
How do you get it out then?
So it's really interesting because most of the time, like, you think pulling and tweezing works.
Right.
There's actually like a little tool that looks like the old days, you know, the spork, like,
yeah.
But it's just one, it's one little like V, and
oh,
you can actually go under and pull up.
Oh,
like, yeah. So, it's actually a tool that works really well, but even when I am, was pulling it off, like we still kind of used like a tweezer and a little bit of a scalpel, but I wasn't scalpeling it out.
Right.
It was sort of like a flick.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an underneath type of flick, right? So that's super interesting. But let's say you found it.
Yeah.
And you pulled it off. Right? Uh-huh. Then there's a couple different options. There's actually an option of taking an antibiotic within 24 hours.
Okay.
Sorry, 72 hours.
Okay.
Is it 24, 72 hours?
Yeah.
And it's doxycycline, 100 milligrams. And you take two of them one time.
Oh.
And it decreases the risk of transmission. That being said, you can, I guess, wait to see if you have Lyme.
When you feel like
that. When you have symptoms. Yeah. And that's what happens is actually it just is like a cold viral type symptom. You get fevers, you can get chills, you can get cough, you can get congestion. It just looks like you have a cold. So there's a lot of people who were missing it because they go, I just have a cold.
I'm fine.
I'm going to stay home. Because you'll get better. You'll get better on it, even though your Lyme still continues to grow and do its thing. Okay.
If you don't get the antibiotics in, does it become a bigger problem?
So, yes. Okay. So this is the problem, right? Okay. So then you go, and then where the bacteria is latched, and it, you know, then I'm gonna say latched, but the tick has latched and then left. It actually can grow what we call a bullseye rash, right? Everyone talks about it.
Yeah.
Not always looking like a bullseye rash. Sometimes it just looks like a big red rash.
Okay.
Okay. 20%, not good, right?
Yeah.
80% out there. Now I've seen a lot of rashes that have been misdiagnosed.
Oh, geez.
As what we call a cellulitis, which is just an infection on the skin.
Oh.
Where I was like, no, that's Lyme. And when patients don't believe me, and I have a few, not that they don't believe me, but they go, I don't understand. I didn't see a tick, whatever.
Right.
I will prove them usually because you can get the blood work.
The blood work
will usually do it. And so that's the problem with the blood work is if you wait, it's 4 weeks for really the blood work to come up positive.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next set comes up. Like, so you have the immediate blood work. It's called the Western blot. There's also Lyme titers. So there's different blood works, but at the end of the day, they don't always come up positive. They're specific. That means if it's there, they'll shoot up, but they're not as sensitive. They won't always come.
Oh, man. Yes.
So it becomes like super, I call it like the timing has to be right.
Sure.
You have to have enough suspicion.
Okay.
And then you have to also know that there's times where you could be missing it. Because some people go, I've had patients come in with ticks.
Uh-huh.
They said, I pulled the tick off. Can you test it? So there are ways you could test it, right? But
they bring them into your office.
Oh, yeah, in a bag.
Oh, that's so nice of them. You're like, don't let that go.
And I just like, steal it.
So, and then you send it off.
I'm like, oh, this is great. Actually, local labs don't do it as much anymore, nor do they pay for it. There's a couple that, well, you know, there's some good ones up in like Connecticut, because of Lyme, Connecticut, that will test ticks. They're more like functional type to test ticks.
Okay.
But it's a little harder to do. So if we try to culture it, you know, you say it's a bacteria, it's like anything you can culture and say, you know, grow it on a plate and see if it's there. Right.
Sure.
It takes almost like 8 to 12 weeks. So you're going to wait a long time for a diagnosis.
Oh.
And it's not that accurate. There's also PCR where they take a little piece and then they amplify it.
Sure.
See if we have it again. Again, a lot of these tests are not as accurate, so it's hard to really get that diagnosis. So and then there's other levels where we're paying thousands of dollars out of pocket.
Oh boy. Okay.
So what do you do with this information, right? Because there's so much, like, actually, believe it or not, Lyme is a clinical diagnosis.
Okay.
So if you are in an endemic area, and that's what they usually say, but that doesn't mean that if you're not, that you don't have Lyme, but you have a higher suspicion.
Sure.
You're suspicious of Lyme symptom. So past the cold, like what happens if you miss the diagnosis or you don't even suspect the diagnosis, right?
Sure.
So migratory joint pain. So there are a lot of people who complain of a lot of joint pain, but it's moves.
Okay.
You know, fatigue.
I think I had a neighbor growing up, I remember, and I think he had to keep getting his knees drained.
Yes.
And it was constant, and it took, I remember, I think over a year to diagnose him.
Yep.
Okay, that does me. All right.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of Lyme background. Yeah. background, guys.
That's what happens is that's the joint. If you're always getting it drained.
Ooh,
so I've had patients where I said, well, you know what? Ask the orthopedist to send that Lyme. Because this is why Lyme is so hard to find. Why the blood work actually over time becomes negative is because it starts hiding in fluid in different places.
Okay.
So it can actually be even in your bladder. It could be in your joints.
Oh.
And I mean, there's so many different places and tissue.
Sure.
And Borrelia actually doesn't just, it's not just, hey, I'm a bacteria. It's like a spirochete. We don't talk about syphilis a lot these days.
Sure.
But in the old days when syphilis was so high and penicillin, people
right.
started using a lot of penicillin, realized you could kill it. It has a very similar look to it it balls up. It's in the, you know, it's in a cyst form. It does a biofilm. So it protects itself. So there's so many different things that this smart thing can do. It's, you know, it buries itself, right?
Ugh.
And then there's different forms where like they would call neurosyphilis and, you know, it's the same thing with Borrelia is that you can have it the neurological system, like in the meninges. So it can look like meningitis even, where IV antibiotics is needed, things like that. Or others where you just get brain fog. We've seen that in actually people with back pain and the joint fluid as well.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a super smart, unfortunately. That's, I don't think super smart. It's like very survival. Like it will do anything really to survive in there.
So like say it took like a year for a diagnosis and I had these symptoms. Is it still antibiotics at that point? Or do you have to go a different I know.
Yeah. This is where we call the art of treating Lyme disease is that it probably a round of antibiotics. So if you came early, it would be like, if you look at the conventional medicine, it's like 10 to 21 days of antibiotics and you're cured.
Sure.
Yeah. That's not yes and no, right? So if it's super early, if it hasn't gone in, then the chance of it treating Lyme and being done with it, it's very high. Right?
Okay.
It's high, right?
Yep.
But the longer it stays, the harder it is. And people think that even just throwing an IV antibiotic is going to work, but it doesn't because of what I told you. It's not like they're all sitting here waiting for you to kill them.
Right. Right. They're like these.
But they're actually like, even if you kill that first round, there's a couple buried inside. So even the treatment is there's a lot of phases where you kill and then you pull out and then you, you know, detox, like all these different things because you're going to have a detox reaction because you're actually like killing and toxining, putting those same kind of bacteria out there. And they call that the Herx reaction is when you start to actually get worse before you get better.
I'm glad we all live here.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? So you asked the question, actually a really good question is if it's a year out, most likely just a round of antibiotics isn't going to work. When you have actually, even with joint, you're treating for like 2 months or even 3 months anyway. So each time it's a little different. Antibiotics, sometimes they use even like antiparasitics. Mm. Sometimes you use, believe it, stevia is a biofilm buster. So sometimes you can add that even into your treatment. The other things are herbals. All different sorts of herbals.
Okay. So if you get on these herbals and all that, can you kind of reverse it? Does it ever leave your system once you get it then?
So it can.
It can?
It can.
Okay.
The problem is that, and the reason I say this is I think there's a lot of dispute.
Sure.
About chronic Lyme.
Uh-huh.
That's the big hot topic, right? And what is chronic Lyme? I tell patients you still have Lyme and it's just not leaving? Or is it the after effect of having Lyme and causing us like an autoimmunity?
Oh, that just gave me another.
So I think that, and I think people are still trying to figure all that stuff out. So we don't know. I mean, they call them Lyme literate doctors and kind of be outside the conventional Lyme treatments. There's so many different kinds. I mean, people are doing ozone, they're doing stem cells, or people have all these different, because it's gotten, the longer you have it and the less likely that you have had it treated, it just takes longer. And you have to, unfortunately, if what's conventionally not working, people do start to look outside the, you know, the antibiotics, even the herbals.
Sure.
You know,
okay.
They're getting other treatments as well.
So a lot of times this then, say you have an autoimmune disease, this could exacerbate the symptoms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then turn that even, because sometimes.
Make it worse.
Right. Because there are, can you reverse autoimmune diseases or at least
get
your blood work balance?
Yes.
And then you get this and then it's like, oh crap. I work so hard to do all these good things to my body, and then I get Lyme disease, and it could bring that all back.
Make it worse.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it is awful. Well, the worst, and the thing about it is, I think it was at NIH, I can't remember which one, they were doing a study to see why do some people have Lyme, get treated, and they're like, really fine.
Sure.
And others, they get treated even at the same time, like same time as in like, I've had Lyme, I've treated within 4 weeks of diagnosis, you know, all these different things. Is why are some people more likely to have chronic Lyme or post-Lyme symptoms? Everyone has a different, people have different names for it.
Sure.
Type symptoms. And I think it's your genetics, as you were saying, like if you're more likely to have autoimmune disease, if you're more likely in, you know, for connective tissue, tendon disorders, different things that are going to put you sort of at risk.
Yeah.
Then some of them are having longer and post Lyme. It's like COVID, you know, like there's a lot of stuff when you're used to being treated or treating something like an infectious disease that you know, whether it's viral or bacterial, that knows how to, I call it play the game.
Sure.
Right. Is trying to figure out where they're going to hide and do is so much easier when the landscape allows them to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And they can just go in and hide, cause all sorts of problems.
Ugh. Ooh.
It's the worst. Well, especially the other thing that's terrible too, is that let's say you have autoimmune disorder, right?
Sure.
And let's say you're getting better, but then let's say you have a relapse, but it was really Lyme, but you thought it was an autoimmune relapse. Then your diagnosis takes longer, right? And then the problem with also autoimmune disorder is that when you have Lyme, when the Lyme blood work looks for autoimmune, like, you know, in the immunoglobulin, looks for titers. So there's a lot of times where somebody will say, no, that's just the false positive. That's just your autoimmune disorder. So you can even get delayed in diagnosis there as well. And it's not anything that anyone's doing wrong per se.
Sure.
It's just kind of like,
Man. It's very complicated.
Very
complex.
Super, very complex.
It's like so much.
So if you look at, I mean, and the best part is, so when I was in med school, and they used to line us up and they would go, they would give us like a symptom, you know, or a case presentation type.
Yeah.
And then everybody had to do a differential diagnosis. So that basically means you had to give a reason or cause for the, you know, for the symptoms. So of course the guy who goes first, like, is awesome. He gets the most
of course
easy one, right?
He wants to go first.
He wants to go first, right? But actually the worst was when I was in surgery and the chief resident, who's, you know, the eye guy that's still a resident, sit at the end. So if you didn't get a good answer they had to go to him, we were all in trouble the next day.
I know.
Because he's like looking at you, and you're like, I better have some good answers. But the purpose of me telling you this is I tell this to my patients all the time. I said, when you stand there and you don't know the answer and everyone has taken all the good ones, you can always say Lyme or tuberculosis, because those will actually give you any symptoms. Right now, you can even put probably COVID in there, right?
That's
new generation.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're getting the sweats, you're getting fevers, you're getting chills, you're getting joint pain, you're getting, you know, abdominal pain, you're getting headaches, you know, dizziness. Anything,
sure,
you could just say Lyme and you'll never be wrong. So even when I did my, when I came to my old practice, like, and I would, you know, as a resident, coming off of nights, interviewing, right? Tired, been up all night.
Oh, that's awful.
Quick interview.
Oh.
And I sat there and I'm just sitting there talking. And I was like, you know, like, I'd say, it's like in med school, you can just say line. And they looked at me and go, yeah, we have that here. You'll even be doubly correct, right? Even though, but when I was at my residency, they, you know, there was, people would come from New Jersey and they would say, and you would always have to think Lyme with New Jersey because I was in the city. No one was, not many people were getting Lyme disease. So it was very interesting because Lyme literally be anything, and do anything, and look like it. I see multiple sclerosis symptoms can be Lyme. Like, there's so much Lyme, right? Everything is Lyme. So, so I always tell people is keep it on the differential. Like, at least think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so anyone who's listening has ever seen me, I'll always say, any chance that we could have Lyme disease?
Yeah.
You know, right. And I will, like, at least most of the time I will put it in there. So if I'm not thinking it, you know, you guys as a listener, consider it, ask for
spending
it.
Time in the woods,
yeah,
spending time in the field.
Yep. But I mean, my house, I might not be in the woods, but man, the deer loves the bushes in front of my house.
Oh yeah. They hang out in our house too. So it could be,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I live outdoors. So,
poof. You do live outdoors.
I do.
holy shit. So these are just things to say, okay, what are the things you can do? Oof. Make sure you always check yourself.
Yeah.
When you come back from hiking, whatever it is. Don't forget the scalp.
Yeah.
Because they're always there. That's why washing is always good, because sometimes you might not see it, but you can feel it when you're kind of championing in there. I always tell patients also to, especially in backs, and I mean,
sure.
They also love the folds,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, groin area, things like that.
Yeah.
I've taken many ticks out of that. That little soft area, you're trying to pluck that tick off of it. I'm not throwing anyone that I know under the bus, but please don't put anything hot on there. You know, like, try to like suffocate the tick. I mean, those are things.
Take a match to your hair.
I love you guys. If anyone's listening, but like, please be careful. Like, you're not going to make the tick uncomfortable to pull out.
Right.
Like, I've had people be super creative. Please do not be super creative. Like, just like, it doesn't cost that much to have that weird little like spoon like thing and flick it off.
Right.
Or, you know, go see a doctor. That works as well.
On the like preventative side of things, like, they have sprays out there, but these sprays are filled with chemicals to say, just be smart, smart and aware. And if you can get it off quickly, then you're probably in hands. Okay.
But there's a lot of also natural stuff that might
there,
necessarily. Yeah. But even just like, a lot of the like, I mean, even like acidic spray, like acidic, like orange, you know, like
okay.
orange.
Sure.
Not that you're not like, I think some of those things are much more, but I would not do like, you know, DEET. Things
right,
like that.
Right, exactly.
I don't normally recommend that kind of stuff just because,
if,
as I said, don't spray it on your skin.
You're not going to eat it. Ha ha, yes.
So we're not going to do that. So basically, and then of course you work on supporting your immune system.
By the things that we have said over and over again.
Absolutely. You know, sleep well, eat healthy, phytonutrients, good protein, stuff. All that wonderful stuff. So at the end of the day is try not to get Lyme disease.
Right.
Understanding that we can't be skin check.
Yeah.
Skin check is basically the biggest thing that you can
do. Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Anything else on that one?
No, I think we're done.
All right, guys. We will see you all soon. Have a good one.
Bye.